Daf is Daf Nun Vav. So let's take it a few lines down where it says Hadam Hayotzi Mipi Ha'ama Minalam. That if Dam comes from the Amma, from a male, the din is Tahor. So what's the source? I've been bringing different rayas. Which bodily fluids are Tame, which bodily fluids are Tahor. So the Gemara explains as follows. Dam Hayotzi Mipi Ha'ama Minalam. How do you know it's Tahor? The Tani, the Brayshah says, Yachol Yeh Dam Hayotzi Mipi Ha'ama Tumem. One might have thought, if dam comes from a person's mouth or dam comes from ha'ama, so the din would be tameh. So the Gemara says, tameh lomar zovo tamehu, hu tameh vein dam hayotzi mipiv, umipi ha'ama tameh elatar. Only when zov comes from the body is that tameh. But if dam comes from that area or dam comes from the piv, that would be tahor. So Gemara says, epech ana, let's switch things around. Yesterday we said that the word who, really, here we're saying who excludes, and the word zos was coming to include dam hayotze, yesterday we said dam meraglim is tameh. So let's say things differently. Maybe we should say the word zos is coming to include dam hayotze mepiv umepi ama is actually tameh, and who excludes meraglim, that meraglim is actually tahor. Why not switch things around? So, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishim Rabbi Shimon Yochai, Dumi the Rok, has to be similar to Rok, because the Pasuk says Rok is Tamei. So, Ma Rok Shemis Agel Yote. The way Rok works is it builds up, it collects all the saliva, and then it exits the body. Av Kol Shemis Agel Yote, so to anything else that after collects, it exits the body, such as Meraglim. Meraglim collects, it's Mis Agel, it's Mis Asef, and then it's Yote. As opposed to Yotze Dam Shein Misagav Yotze, Dam doesn't gather up and only then does it to leave the body. When Dam is there, Dam just leaves. It doesn't Misagil. And therefore, since it's Asim Mitarok, Dam Hayotze Mipi Ama, Dam Hayotze Mipiv is all Tahor. Says Gemara, Arei Chalav Shabisha Shemisagil Yotze. What about the Chalav of a woman, the milk of a woman, does Misagil, does build up, and then it's Yotze, and yet, Amar Mar, Chalav Shabisha Mitame tumas mashkin ve'ena tumas mashkin in v'avalom tumah chamura. That although chalav of a woman is tumas mashkin, but it's very limited. It's only tumas mashkin, but it's not tumas chamura. It's not a tuma of the mayanos of azav. Why not? If it's really the definition we're looking for is anything that's misagil v'yotze, chalav is misagil v'yotze. It should be tame tumah chamura. Ela Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yochai, he tweaks this and says, no, Tumid Rok. We're going back to Rok. Rok is a model in the Pasuk that's something that's a bodily fluid, that's a Ma'ayan, that's Mitame. So what's the quality, what are the qualities of Rok? Ma Rok Mis'agav Yotzei, and also Chozer V'Nivla. There's a second factor now. One is that it builds up, and after it builds up, then it leaves the body. And when it doesn't leave the body, it's Chozer V'Nivla. It gets reabsorbed by the body. So af kol shem misagav yotzei v'chozer v'nivla. So is there anything else that builds up, and when it doesn't exit the body, it gets reabsorbed within the body, such as meraglim. Yot dam shenu misagav yotzei, as opposed to dam which firstly doesn't build up. That's why that's excluded. And yot chalav shebeisha, the milk of a woman, she'af apisha misagav yotzei, even though it does build up till it leaves. However, when it doesn't leave, ena yochozer v'nivla, does not become part of the body, still remains separate from the body so long as it hasn't left the body. And therefore, we're excluding both dam and chalav from rok. So then the Gemara says, v'neilef mi zovo. Why not learn from the word zovo? Ma zovo, shein misagav yotze, tamei af kol. So it's very strange. We're using rok as the model of something that's misagil v'yotze, that builds up and then it exits the body. But the zov, which is really the ikker model, zov is really the ikker idea that which is tameh, zov is something that's not misagil v'yotze. So why don't we look to zov as the model that's not misagil v'yotze, and instead we're looking to rok? And so the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Rava says, mizovo lekel amelef. You can't learn from mizovo. Zovo is different. Why is zovo different? Shekein gorim tuma lacher. The zov is a completely different category. What causes a man to be a zov? It's the zovo. So the zovo is metame acher. It's metame someone else. As opposed to rok and everything else, that's not metame a person. Those are tame, but they're not metame acher. And therefore, since the zovo is in a category in its own right, in that it's metame others, therefore we don't look to zovo as a model. Instead, we look to rok as a model, and again, rok being misagav yotzei and chos of a nivla, those are the qualities that we need to compare to, which again includes meraglim, but excludes dam and chalaf. Okay, the Gemara now says they're on halfway down Amud Aleph here, quoting from the Mishnah Vasheretz. We learned in the Mishnah that sheretz is metame only when the sheretz is lach, but when the sheretz is yavesh, the sheretz is not metame. So Amar Yish Lakish says, sheretz sheyavesh v'shildo kayemes. So let's say you have a sheretz that's completely dried out, but yet the structure, the shape of the sheretz is still there. You have a turtle that's dead and dried, but it's still intact, even though it's dead. The din is this sheretz is metame. It's tame and it's metame others. So Hanan San, doesn't our Mishnah tell us here, Maseches Nida, metamin lachen, v'lein metamin nivation, that when is the sheretz metame? It's only true when that sheretz is lach. But when the sheretz is yavesh, so it's not tame. So how can Rish Lakish argue in the Mishnah and say it is tame if it's yavesh, as long as the shilda is kayemes? So the Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Zeira, lokasha, hava kulan, hava miksasin. It depends. When our Mishnah said that the sheretz yavesh is tahor, that's when it's only miktsasim, when you only have a part of the sheretz that's there. But even our Mishnah would agree if the entire sheretz is intact, albeit it's yavesh, still it's going to be mitami. And that he proves from the following. How do we know there's a distinction between kulan versus miktsasim? The Sani, the Raisa, tells us that Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Bisna, Amar Rabbi Shimba Yochai, that Bahem, the Pasuk says, the Pasuk reads entirely, Ka no ge bahem, anyone who touches Bahem, the sheretz, he's a bimosin, when it's dead, it's such yitma. So what's the joshua? Yachal b'kulam, one might think you're only tamei when you come into contact with the sheretz, but kulam when it's fully intact. Tamalomer mehem, the Pasuk says, only mehem from some of them, only miktsasim. So e mehem, if the word mehem is there, yachal miktsasim, one might think if you come into contact with the only part of the sheretz, you're tamei. So do you need bahem, which is the whole, or do you need mehem, which is only miktsasim? How do you reconcile how much of the sheretz do you need to be mitamei? So Tamalom or Behem. So there's a contradiction. Is it Behem or is it Mehem? Is it Kulan or is it Miktasim? And so the Gemara answers, Haketah, how do you reconcile this? Kan Bilach, Kan B'Yavish. It depends whether the Sheretz is Lach or Yavish. In other words, if the Sheretz is Lach, then even Miktasim, even Mehem, would be Metame. But if it's B'Yavish, then only B'Kulan, only if it's Behem, the entire Sheretz that's present, that would be mitame. So this answers the contradiction between the Mishnah when a sheretz yavesh is tame and when it's not tahor. If it's kulan, yavesh it's tame. If it's miktasan, yavesh it's tahor. So Gemara then says, Amar Rava, Rava says, honey, zvuge dimechoza. What's zvuge dimechoza? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi tells us, he says, where did Rashi go? It's a proit, hanimtsan yavashin, bimechoza vahutsav. It's a turtle. It's a turtle. So you have a turtle now in this city of Mechuza. Ki shildan kayemes timen. When the apparently a dried out turtle. So if a dried out turtle, that's shildan kayemes, that it's still intact, it's fully intact, that's tame. That's consistent with Reish Lakish. He just gives an example of a type of sheretz. Reish Lakish says a sheretz in general, and Rabbi just gives you an example of this dried out turtle. So Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish says now a similar din, sheretz shenisraf, the shilda kayemes tamei. So now he talks about what if a sheretz is burnt? But if it's shilda kayemes, if it's the body is still intact, even though it's burnt, that's also tamei. It's very similar to yavesh, same exact din, although it's yavesh, shilda kayemes tamei, here as well, sheretz shenishraf, and shilda kayemes, the din is its tamei. So Meishivetig asks a question from a mission in Tyros, the ninth parak there. Nimtza sheretz saruf agabe azeisen. Let's say you come in, you find your olives all together, and there's a burnt turtle, burnt sheretz on top of the olives. Or the chayin matlis hamuhusa muhuraha. Rather, you find a worn out piece of cloth that apparently you knew that was owned by a zav. So the question is, what's the status of the zaysim? Are they tamei from the burnt sheretz? Are they tamei from the clothing of the midras of the zav? And the Mishnah says it's taharos. It's all tahor. Why? Shekol hatumos kibishas. You have to analyze what's now. In other words, right now you see a cloth, and the cloth is all burnt out. When the cloth is all burnt out or worn out, it doesn't have a din of kli anymore. It's not tamei. So even though maybe 3 weeks ago it was, all we have right now in front of us is a worn out cloth, and there's no tumah. So too, sheretz, we have the sheretz is burnt. So right now the Mishnah is clearly assuming that a sheretz hasaruf is completely tahor, and we assume the zaysim are tahor. And this flies in the face of Reish Lakish's opinion, who felt that a sheretz hashenishaf is actually tamei. So how does Reish Lakish deal with this Mishnah, which clearly goes against him? So Amar Rabbi Zeira again answers the question, Lokashir habakulun hamiksasim. Same exact structure above by the yavesh, and we have the same answer when it comes to sheretz sharif. So where do we see the difference between a full versus a partial sharif? The Tani, the Brisa tells us that Amar Reb Yitzchak bar Bisna Mishum Reb Yishmael Yochai, Behem the Pasuk says, Yachol Kulan, only when you touch the sharif entirely, or if it's entirely intact, is it Tameh, Tameh Lomar Mehem, only if you touch Miktasim. Well, Ish Mehem, if you only need Mehem, Yachol Miktasim, even if the sharif is partially there, even that will be enough to be Metameh, Tameh Lomar Behem. No, you need the entire sharif. Is it Miktasim, is it Kulan? To which the Gemara says, Haketad Kan Bisaruf, Kan Ben Yisaruf. It depends. If the sheretz is burnt, so then if it's burnt, it's only metame if it's cool on there, if it's entirely there. If it's partially there, it's tahor. When the sheretz is dead but not burnt, it's there, then even miktsasan will be metame. So the case of the Mishnah where you found the sheretz sarf that was burnt on top of the zesim, the reason why it was tahor because it was only miktsasan. Had the sheretz been fully intact, the kulam, enachanami zesim, would have assumed to be tame. Okay. Gemara now quotes further from the Mishnah, where last few narrow lines, the Gemara says, Metamin lach, and the Mishnah said, various bodily fluids from a zav is tame. So we said the zov, and the nia, the mucus, the roke, the spit, the sheretz, a nevela, a shechazera, all these only metamin lach, if they're moist, if they're wet, but if they're yavish, the Mishnah said they're tahor. So how do we know that only when they're lach are they tame? What's the source for all of these? So the Gemara quotes one by one, zov, Dichsiv, how do we know Zov is only Tame when it's actually a lach? It says in the Pasuk, Dichsiv, Rar Bisaro. Rar Bisaro implies that as Zovo, that it's like roke. Lashon roars roke. It's saliva. It's wet. It's moist. So that's the din of Zov has to be roar. Kicho v'nil v'roka, how do you know the various, the mucus and the saliva also has to be lach? Dichsiv, v'chi arok hazav. And so just like roke is always saliva, is always wet, so too anything else that's learned out from roke, such as kicho v'nio, different types of mucus, only when they're lach are they tame, not when they're yavish. They have to be kain roke, just like the roke itself. Sheretz hayna, the sheretz is only tame when it's lach. B'mosan, amar rachmana, kain misa. Just like the sheretz, the moment it died, not that it's dead, but what happened when it died, the moment the turtle died, the sheretz died, it was still lach, it was a fresh death. So it has to be kishas kain misa. Hado shich lazer has to be lach. Has to be harui lazer, like we discussed before. That's rui lazer, which is only true if the zera is lach. Is it roi lazer? If it's yavich, not roi lazer, and therefore it's tahor. What about nevela? That nevela has to be lach. It says in the pasuk v'chiyamos again kain misa. Just like when the animal dropped dead, even though it was dead, it was still fresh and lach. So that's only then is a nevela going to be tamet. So now the Gemara quotes in the Mishnah further, v'michol nisharis, all the examples we say in the Mishnah, if they're dry, if however you're able to somehow rehabilitate it, if you soak it in water, warm water for a certain period of time, it will then be reinstated as a davar lach, then that would qualify as davar lach. I mean, even though right now it might be yavish, if it's close enough to being soaked in water where it could go back to be davar lach, then it's going to become tame even when it's yavish. So Bai Rabbi Yimir, you wanted to know, when it said in the Mishnah you have to soak it in potion, in warm water, lukewarm water, what is the definition of that? B'tchilaso v'sofa b'potion, that if you soak it from warm water from the beginning until the end, meaning a full 24 hours, has to be tested, and only then, if it doesn't return back to its davar lach, only then is it tahor. Odilma, perhaps, b'tchilaso apapi shein sofa. We test out by only putting in warm water in the beginning. Now, even though at the end the water may not be warm anymore, still we only have to soak it in the warm water in the beginning. And if it doesn't return back from the beginning of being potion, then that indicates that this is davar yavish. Even though had I put potion from beginning to end, it would have brought back to davar lach. We only have to have the water warm in the beginning, but does not have to remain at the besofo. That was his suffix. The Gemara brings a brisa, Tashma, the Tanya, Kama, he shriyasim b'poshen, how long do you have to have it soaking in the warm water? Yehuda ben Nukusa Omer, Me'eshla, it's a 24 hours mitchilaso, in the beginning only does that be potion, Ava pishen sofo, even at the end the water might cool off, you don't have to ensure that the water remains warm even at the end. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Tzichan Shu Poshim Meishleis, no, it has to remain warm the entire 24 hours. So this Safik of Rabbi Yirmiyah was in fact a Machlokis in the Braisa. Okay, then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, yesterday's Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Omer Besahar Meis, the din was if you have flesh of a dead body, it's if it's Yavesh, it's Tahor. So Amar Shmuel says he qualifies his din that the Basar Meis Yavesh is Tawar. It's only true Shetar Milutami the Kazayis, the Shiva Kazayis. The typical shear of a Tumas Meis is Kazayis. So if it's dried out, the shear is no longer Kazayis, but the shear changes. What he's telling us is it's still Tame Meis, but it has a larger shear. What's the shear now that's dried? Ava Matame Tumas Rakov. Tumas Rakov was if you have any, I forget how they call it in English. What do they say?
Corpse dust.
Corpse dust. So when a body dies and decomposes, so there's a lot of dust there. So if you have a kazayas of that dust, it's not matame. But if you have a mali tarvat kaf, like a ladle size of dust, that's big enough to be matame. So although dried out basar meis is tame mi shir kazayas, if it has the shear of a tumas raka, which is again mali tarvat, that would in fact be tame tumas meis. Tanya Nami Hach, the Braisa says the same thing. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Besar Meish, Sheyavesh, if you have dried out flesh of a dead body, Vein Yachol Lishros, V'lachos L'kmo Shehaya, and you can't rehabilitate it. You can't make it moist yet again. Tahor, the din is Tahor, but it's only Tahor, Milatame B'Kazayis. It's Tahor from requiring the shear of Kazayis. Aval Tame Tumas Rakav. It still does take on the din of Tumas Rakav, which again would be the shear of a Male Tarvat. Okay. New Mishnah now in the bottom of Nunvav Amun Aleph. The Mishnah tells us, Hasheretz Shenimtza B'Mavon. Let's say you have an alleyway and you find the sheretz that's there. And this alleyway was used for various taros. So you weren't sure at what point the sheretz was there. But all day long I was in and out moving my taros up and down my apartment building. And then I come out to my alleyway, there's a turtle, there's a sheretz of some sort. So how far back do I have to assume the sheretz was there and I only noticed it now? Is it Metame everything Lafreya or only Mikan Laba? The Mishnah says again, Hasheretz Shenimtza B'Mavoi, Mitame the Mafreya. It's Mitame everything that was used there for the past however many till when? How far back do you go? Ad Sheyomar Bedaktis Hamavoi Zev Lo Hayabos Sheretz. Until he knows that when I last inspected the alleyway, there is no turtle. That could have been 2 weeks ago when he last inspected it. It could have been an hour ago. Whenever the last inspection was, that's how far back he has to go to Mafreya. Oh. Ad Shas Kibud, or perhaps when like the cleaning crew went to the alleyways and swept everything out there, so that was the last time. So if that took place in the morning or took place 2 weeks ago, one of those are going to be the threshold of how far back you have to go, either when he personally inspected it or when there's a sweeping through the alleyway. The Chayin Kesem, a similar model exists when there's a stain found in Nimsa B'chalak. The woman found the stain on her clothing, so then she's Metame, but not only Metame Mekana Laba, but even Mafreya. As far back, she had to go back to Tommy. Anything she was encountered, we assume it's Tommy. But how far back do you go? Ad Sheyomar Bedakti Tachalak Hazev Lo Haya Bokasim. Either as far back as into the last time she said, I inspected the garment, there's nothing there. Oh, Ad Shasa Kibas, or when she last did laundry. So one of those two times whichever one is the earliest one, the most recent one, whether she checked it or whether she laundered it, that would be as far back you have to go in Lafreya for the Kesem. The Mishnah concludes and says, "V'amatame bein lach bein yavesh." And when we say that when she finds the sheretz, when she finds the kesem, the din of tumah lafreya, even if it's certainly if it's lach, but even if it's yavesh, we go far back. Whenever it was last found, whether it's lach or whether it's yavesh, we go all the way back. Meaning, you could have thought if it's a lach, maybe you don't have to go back. Maybe it's fresh, right? The sheretz is lach, the kesem is lach, so maybe you shouldn't have to go far back. Even when it's lach, we have to assume it goes in lafreya as far back. And then Rabbi Shimon argues and says, no, Rabbi Shimon Omer, if it's yavesh, metam lefreya. If it's dry, so that indicates it's old, so then you have every reason to go back to lefreya. But halach, if it's wet, if it's moist, so ein metam ela achas sheyachol liosalach. We only go so far back to know how long could something remain lach without being. So let's say the kesem is lach. So a kesem only remains lach for, I don't know, 3 hours. So you only have to go back 3 hours. A sheret that's dead only remains lach for 3 hours. So you don't have to go back 3 hours, whatever that shear is, that something could remain lach. But once it's yavish, so then you could go as far back as you want, because it could be dry for 3 weeks. And that's the din of Rabbi Shimon. Okay. So Gemara now wants to know, last 2 lines of Nun Vav Amun Aleph here as follows. Hibari lehu. Ad shas kibud. So we want to know, when the Mishnah said that you find the sheretz in the mavoi, so you have to go back. So go back either when you had last inspected it or when you last did a sweeping. So what's the reason when there's a kibud, when you clean the alleyway, why are you allowed to go back at that point? So the Gemara has a suffix. Is it because Ashas Kibud Ches Kasa Badik? Because when you sweep it, you inspect it, right? When you're busy sweeping your dining room, you're making sure there are no crumbs. So not because the sweeping gets rid of it, because you inspected it while it's the Bedika during the Shas Kibud. Or is it that Duma Ches Kasa Biskabit? No, you didn't inspect it. You just swept it away. We assume when you sweep it, the sherets, even though you didn't see it, it was all away. So is it because there's a bedika during Shas Kibud? Well, there's no bedika, but the Shas Kibud itself, the miskabe, the sweeping itself, will remove the sherets. What's the nafkamina? The Gemara says two nafkaminas. My nafkamina, damer kavod v'lo badik. Let's say you swept, but you didn't inspect it. So if it's based on iyamer, cheskas abadik is because when you sweep it, it's all because you did an inspection. Well, this case, halo badik. We just said there's an example. The guy swept it, but he didn't do an inspection. So there's no inspection, then you can't go back to Shas Kibud. We assume the sherets are there. But if the whole reason is e-amris, if you're going to say cheskasa miskabed, no, when you sweep something, we assume you did a thorough job, regardless of your inspecting. It's a thorough job, ha-miskabed. The guy swept the alleyway, and therefore, even though he didn't inspect it, we assume it was swept away, so then you are allowed to go back to Shas Kibud. Inami, the Gemara says, alternatively, top of Amin Bezer, deshakach beguma. After you cleaned it out, you found it in a hole. So what's the relevance of finding a sherets in a hole? It's like in a little gap somewhere, a little crevice somewhere. So if you're going to say, because it's all based on you check it, you do an inspection while you're doing sweeping, man the badik, beguma name badik. When you do an inspection, you inspect even the holes, even the crevices. So now if you find it in a hole, so then we assume it's new. Because when you did an inspection, you would have checked the hole. So this is a fresh sherets. You don't have to go to the mafraya. But Iyamis, if you're going to say Cheskasa Miskabe, not because you inspected it, because when you sweep, you do a thorough job, well, Gumala Miskabe, when you sweep, you only sweep that which is flat. But if there's a hole, a crevice, I mean, you don't get into those crevices to sweep it out, and therefore, it wouldn't be Tamei Mikana Ba, in that case, it would be Lemafreya. The Gemara has, again, a similar structure when it comes to a Kesem. The Chayin Kesem of a Chul. So Ibar Lu asks the Gemara, we want to know, when we say a kesem is able to be, when you say tamei lafreya, you only go so far back as to the last time you did laundry. So when, in terms of laundry, what's the reason the shas kibus? Ibar Lu ad shas kibus. Is it because cheskasa baduk? When you do laundry, you check for the stains. You do an inspection when you do laundry. Or nothing to do with your inspection, rather, duma cheskasa miskabes. When there's a laundry done, we assume the laundry removed the stain. So is it because of bedika, or is it because of the actual kibus? So my nafkamina, what's the difference? Ha, damar kibus b'lo badik. If a guy said, a girl said, I did a laundry, I just didn't inspect it. So there was a laundry done, but there was an inspection. So what's the difference? So if you're going to say the driving point here is, cheskasa badik, it's badik, it's all about the person doing a bedika. Well, hala badik, she admitted she didn't do a bedika. So then you can't assume shas kibus. You have to assume it was there even before shas kibus. But if you're going to say cheskasa miskabes, that's because when something gets laundered, it gets completely clean. So Hamas Kabbis, she did a laundry, and therefore we can assume it was a fresh stain. Nia Nami, alternatively, Dishtakach Besitra. If you found the stain in some type of crevice that wasn't able to be cleaned well, it was stuck between, I don't know, some stitching. So Iyamis, if you're going to say Cheskasa Badik is all based on the checking, Manda Badik, Besitchinai Badik. When you inspect the clothing, you inspect even the stitching, and you would have found it. So since you found it now, so then it's fresh. But Iyamis, if you're going to say it's based on Cheskasa Miskabes, based on the laundry being done, well, Besitchin Lo Miskabes, so when a person does laundry, the laundry doesn't necessarily get to all the nicks and crannies of the shirt, and therefore we assume if there's no Badika, if it's based on Miskabes, maybe this was not a fresh stain, it was there for a while. So my, what's the din? How do we assume? So Gemara now says, Tashma brings from a brisa to Sanya as follows. The brisa is a long brisa here. We're going to see three opinions here, but in this opinion, we're going to see the first opinion, it's going to be clear as to the reason behind why Shas Kibus. Is it based on Bedika, or is it based on the Kibus itself? So what's the brisa? Tashma, to Sanya. Amr Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, Bifnei ma amru asheret shenimsa b'mavoy mitamil mafreya. So how do we know that sherets, which is found in a mavoy, we are metamei all the way retroactively? Ad sheyomar badakti et hamavoy, until he says, I checked it, but lo haya bo sherets, and there is no sherets. Oh, ad shas kibur, until the last time it was cleaned, it was swept, bifnei Shecheskas b'nei Yisrael bosim mivosim b'shas kibudem. Because when the cleaning, when sweeping is done, they check it during the sweeping. So this is the line we want. We'll finish the brisa, but the line we want here is why shas kibud, why shas kibus as well. Both those cases, why those clean? Because you check it. It's the bedika that takes place during shas kibud. It's a kibud. The bedika that takes place during shas kibus. So even though they didn't inspect it, have to do the mafre, then they go back mafre, they have to even go further back, even before the shas kibud, if no inspection was done. So what's the reason why, when it stains down on clothing, we say, until she says, I inspected the clothing, I didn't find it, or shas kibud from the last time she did laundry. What's the relevance of the laundry? Because women check their clothing when they're doing shas kibus. It's not the kibus itself, it's just the bedika that's done during shas kibus. Again, it's the same thing above by the shas kibud. If she didn't inspect it while she did kibus, then she loses all those taras she was involved with since the last time. And then, just to finish off the braisa, Rabbi Acha Amar, tachs of tich bezana, we should really inspect it. We should have her do laundry a second time. Im nidcha mariaso biyadua shalacher kibus vimla biyadua shalachay kibus. What are you going to do? There's a stain. So do laundry. If the color dims, it gets softened, that means this is the first time it's going through a kibus, that means it wasn't there during shas kibus. But if when you do laundry of this new stain, the same stain stays the same shade, the same color, that means it already went through a kibus before, and meaning it was there already b'shas kibus. That's how you inspect it according to Rabbi Acha. And Rabbi Omer, Rabbi himself says, "Eini domer kesim shalachar kibus v'leshalfeya kibus." You don't have to test it out. You can just look at the stain itself, and there's a clear difference. Those who are sensitive, you could tell whether this stain is after laundry or before laundry. What's the difference? Because makdir zemakdir zemagid. One of the if it's stained after laundry, then it's embedded in the actual clothing. And if it's not, if it hasn't gone through a kibus yet, it's fresh. Then it was, it's still on the surface, it's still on the outside. And there's no need to test it out, just look at it, analyze it, and that will be sufficient grounds in determining whether it was there before the kibbutz, or it came after the kibbutz. That's the three machlokas. But what we need is the first opinion, treat this very mayor, shema mina cheskasa badak shema mina, that shas kibbutz. And Shabbos kibbutz, respectively, it's not because the kibbutz or the kibbutz themselves clean it, it's rather because there's a bedika that takes place during the washing, during the sweeping. If the bedika wasn't done, then they lose out all the way back with Mafre. The Gemara then says, Metame bein lach fechula. This was quoting from the Mishnah we just had on Amud Aleph, that the Tanakhama felt that these different dinim of the sheretz, the kesem rather, or the sheretz that they find in the mavor, whether it's lach or whether it's yavesh, even if it's lach, we could still assume it's mitame l'mafrei, even though it seems like it's a fresh sheretz. And a fresh ketzim, we still go back. So lo shanu el sheretz. The Gemara says it's only true. When does the Tanakhama say lach, it's even tamei davar lach l'mafrei? Only by a sheretz. Aval kesem lach nami mitame l'mafrei. When it comes to this, going back on the shita of Rabbi Shimon, rather. Rabbi Shimon, who said that yavesh, only if it's dry, we assume it's old, it's been there for a while, so we go l'mafrei. But if it's a davarlach, we assume it's a fresh stain, it's a fresh eretz, and therefore we say it's only kshas mitziyasim when you find it. So all in that statement, Amar Rabbi Elazar, lo shanu, when does Rabbi Shimon say that davarlach is only mitamim mikan laba, not mafraya, only a sheretz? Because a sheretz, if it's davarlach, it means it came right now. About kesem, but a stain, even if it's lach, nami mitamim mafraya, you could go retroactive even for kesem. Why? Amar Yavesha, we could still say the stain was dry, but Maya Nafal, maybe water fell on it and gave it a fresh appearance. So we don't know if water fell on it or not, and therefore it's safe to assume, not safe, but we have to be machmir and assume it was there for a while, it was really dry, and go to Mafreya. Sheretz Nami Amar Yavesha, Umaya Nafal, say the same thing, there's a sheretz in the Mavoy, and maybe it was dead, it was dry, and some water fell on it, giving it a fresh occurrence appearance. So Gemara said, Im Isa, if it's really true, the Hachi Hava, that really the sheretz was dry and then water fell on it, it wouldn't remain lach. Im Ratute, Imrat, it would have just crumbled away if it was dried and then wet. It wouldn't have the same appearance as a fresh sheretz, and therefore you know if water fell on it. So if it's a davar lach by sheretz, we assume it's only Tami Mekan Laba. But if it's a stain, if it's a kesem, that's davar lach, we have to be choshed, maybe choshesh, that maybe it was there for a while. It was really a davar yavish, that water fell on top of it. Okay, the new Mishnah tells us as follows. Last four narrow lines. All stains that come from Rekim, Rekim with a particular city, are Tahorim. Why are they Tahorim? Because Rashi says everyone who lived in Rekim were all Ovdei Kochavim. And the din is a stain of an Ovdei Kochavim, the dam of Ovdei Kochavim is Tahor. Let's say Rabbi Huda Omer, Mitame. He thinks it's Tame, Mipnei Shem Gerim, Mitame. He thinks, no, those people who live there actually are actually Kusim, they're Gerim rather. And Gerim has the same din as anyone else, anybody else Israel. And their Kusim are therefore Tame. But they make a mistake in that the Rashi says V'toim Shein Matzniin Es Kismam. They don't hide them. And what's the din? Benos Yisrael Tanua. When she's a Kesem, she buries them. She puts them in the garbage. No one's gonna ever find them. So how do you ever find a Kesem? They were concerned of it being Tame. Because if a Ger who doesn't know all the halachas necessary, so therefore they have a Kesem and they don't get rid of it properly. So it's possible to find a Kesem from a Benos Yisrael who's a Ger, and therefore we have to assume it comes from Rekem. They actually are Tame. So then the Mishnah says, Habayim, let's say it comes from Mibein Ovdei Kochavim Tahorim. If the stains come from a place of the Goyim, it's Tahor, because as we said before, that the Dam of a Goy is Tahor. Mibein Yisrael, Mibein HaKusim, if they come from Jews, or they come from a Kusim, so then the din is Tame. So Rabbi Meir, refer to Meir Mitame, because he holds, just like the Dam of Benos Yisrael Tame, so too he assumes that Kusim are fully Ger Emesim, they're really Gerim, and therefore they're Tame as well. And Chacham argue in the Chacham Metarim, the day Shalom Nechshidu Ach Kismeim, he says, although I might agree that they, at least from the Mishnah's impression initially, we'll see in the Gemara how to tweak this, that although he'll agree that the Kusim are Tame, but he does assume that they hide them, they get rid of them, and the Kusim won't be found of the Kusim. So let's see what's going on here. The Gemara says first, the Kapasik Vatani Afilu Mitarma. The Mishnah says, whenever you find a dam from a city of a Goyim, you assume it's Tahor, because a stain, a Kesem of a Goy is Tahor. The Gemara implies Afilu Mitarma, even if it comes from a city called Tarmod. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zosimaris, just comes to tell me that Mekablin Gerim Mitarma, that you're allowed to accept Gerim from Tarmod. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, Kapasik Vatani. When you find the stains that come from Goyim, Torim, so we're learning that Tarmod is a place of Goyim. And if they're a place of Goyim, you're able to mekabel ger from them, because you can mekabel ger from any Goyim. So Gemara says, is that really true? V'ha Rabbi Yochanan Svesavia, the name of an Amora. They both hold, ein mekablin mitarmod. We don't allow you to collect, get Gerim from Tarmod. Why not? So you look at Rashi. Rashi says, the first opinion that holds Zos Omeris Mekablin Gerim in Tarmod, the first opinion that says you can be Mekabel Ger from Tarmod, Ukshem Lavo Bakal, we assume those Goyim, they're people or Goyim who could convert. And when they convert, they can marry to the cow. But Lord, we don't say Mamzerin here, that they're Mamzerin, Shinis Arvu Vivnos Aser Shvatim, we don't assume the other pin holds that no, we think this place of Tarmod is a place where one of the Shvatim left and they had children with Goyim and the children are therefore viewed as Mamzerim. So we don't assume that way. We assume that they're fully Goyim. They're full 100% Goyim and they're not the mixed together of Jews who got lost. So there's a machlokas, can you be Mekabel Gerim from Tarmod or not from Tarmod? So the Gemara says, the Chitim, if you're going to say, it said they're both in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan on one hand conclude that you can be Mekabel Gerim from Tarmod, and then he says that you can't be Mekabel Gerim from Tarmod. So the Chitim, if you're going to suggest Zos Velostrila, that maybe he says, this is a halacha, but I don't personally hold it this way, well, that can't be true. Because the Ha'amar Rabbi Yochanan tells us many places, halacha kistam misha, we always pass on kistam misha. And this Tam Mishnah, which says Hakol Ksamim Habam Mirekim, it implies that all types of any city, even from Tarmod, implies that this Tam Mishnah that we will be Makabel Gerim from Tarmod. So there's a machlokas. What did Rabbi Yochanan say? And that's what Gemara answered. Amarai Ninu Ali with Rabbi Yochanan. There's a stira, and there's conflicting reports of what Rabbi Yochanan felt. One, some students felt he thought you can be Makabel from Tarmod. Others felt you can't. So it's unclear at a Paskin, but that's the debate, how we view the people living in Tarmod. Are they full-fledged Goyim, or are they Mamzerim that came from the Benos Shvat? So Mibein Yisrael, v'chula. So the Gemara said, this Mishnah had said something that's a little strange. The Mishnah had said, let's say you found Ksamim stains that came from the Yisrael, we said they're the Tamei. You find them from the Kusim, there's a Machlokas. The Gemara says, Rabbanan, who felt that the Rabban said that if you find them from the Kusim and Yisrael, they said you're Tahor, The last line of the Mishnah says Matarin, if you find them from Ben Yisrael, Ben Kusim. And the Mishnah said Mipnei Shelo Nechshidu HaKisim, because they're not, we don't suspect them of getting, throwing out the Kisamim. So Gemara is trying to figure out what's going on here. Rabbanan E Yisrael Matare. If you're going to say the stains of Yisrael are actually Tahor, then Demam Matame. If the Benos Yisrael stains are Tahor, who is our Tame then, if not the Benos Yisrael? So the Gemara says there's something missing in the Mishnah. The way the Mishnah should be read is as follows. Chasuri Mechzer V'Hachikadan. Mibein Yisrael Tame. If you find stains from a Ben Yisrael, then everyone agrees it's Tame. That's clear. Then, comma. Mibein Kusim. If you find them from the Kusim, however, that's Machlokas, Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir's Metame, the Kusim Geris, Geri Emes, Hain. He, Rabbi Meir, assumes that the Kusim are full-fledged, real accepted Gerim, and therefore they have a din of Benos Yisrael, and therefore Tame. And Chacham Metarin, the Kusim Geri Emes, are Arayos, Hain. He argues and say that the Kusim only converted because of the lions, the Homais, Shahaya, that they were scared, they were forced into conversion, and that's not considered a good conversion, and therefore they have a din of goy, and that's why Chacham hold that the kusim, stained of kusim, are actually tahor. If that's the case, if that's the reason why Chacham say that the stains of kusim are tahor because geri arayatim, so then why does the Mishnah say shlo nechshdu al kisim, because they're not we don't suspect them on the stains. The Mishnah really should say Geri Arayas may violate. The reason why they're tarred because Geri Arayas. But the Mishnah doesn't provide a reason. They provide a reason of them not being nechshed on the Kismayim. So that can't be what's going on in the Mishnah. So let's be clear. What's going on in the Mishnah here? So Ella the Gemara finally says, Hachi Kama. Mibein Yisrael u Mibein Akusim Tmeim. If you find stains that come from both, rather either one, either from Yisrael or from the Kusim, we assume that they're Tmeim. The Kusim Geri Emesim. And the Geir Emes. They're really full Geir, and that's why they're Tamei. But Nimsam Be'ar Yisrael, let's say you find the stains that are in the cities, Jews, a Jewish city, so Tahorim, the Tawadi Tahorim, Shelo Nechshidu Yisrael Al Kismayim, where B'nai Yisrael are not, we don't suspect the B'nai Yisrael are just throwing around the stains. They take them and they hide them, they bury them somewhere. Vatsnu Mitzayle, they hide them somewhere, therefore you found them, it must not be a stain from an Isha, it's a stain from a Kada, a wound or something else, and therefore they're Tahorim. But let's say Nimsam Bari Kusim, but let's say that's only if you find them in the cities of the Benos Yisrael. But let's say you find the stains of in the cities of Kusim. The Kusim, right now everyone assumes in the Mishnah, the Kusim are Geri Emesim. They have a din of Benos Yisrael. But since the Gerim, they have slightly different traditions, or maybe they lack the certain Mesorah. So according to them, if you find them in Nimsam Bari Kusim, Rabbi Meir Metame, because Nechshedu HaKismem, they were never taught. They were never trained to bury them, and therefore you find stains around in the city of Kusim. You assume maybe they're attacked from an Isha on the tummy. But Chacham Metar, and they argue and say, no, Shelo Nechshedu Al Kismayim. They're not suspect of throwing them around. Even the Kusim will in fact bury and hide the Kismayim. And therefore anything you find must be a stain from some other source of blood. Okay. We will stop here. Mitzvah Hashem, we will continue.